Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So get ready for this in Republican state houses across the country. Look into Tennessee, which evidently today passed a law saying that camping on state grounds, on the Capitol grounds, is now a felony. Now, understand, for 61 straight days, you've had people camped out there at the Capitol, at the People's House in Nashville, demanding racial equality and, demanding an end to police brutality. And instead of the governor meeting with these folks, they have now passed a law making what those folks are doing a felony, and which is kind of an interesting take on it. No, we're not going to allow you to have a voice. And if you don't do what we tell you, we're going to bring in the police, who will probably beat you off the property and then charge you with a felony so you can't vote to get us thrown out. It's brilliant. And it's something that I think we're going to see. This is kind of the trial balloon, I think. I'm here to share some thoughts on this, the most recent of trial balloons. I've asked our good friend Sarah Kenzior to come talk with us. Sarah is a writer, scholar, and co-host of the great podcast Gaslit Nation. Her most recent book, Hiding in Plain Sight, a New York Times bestseller. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So what do you think? Lock them up. Give them, saddle folks with a felony for, camping out on state grounds there. Because we don't really want to see those people anyway, right?
Yeah, I think that's the strategy. And I think that the taking away of voter rights is part of that. This is basically a state-level version of what they already have created through their executive order on a national level when they labeled Antifa a terrorist group and made the definition of it incredibly broad, basically meaning that, anyone protesting against fascism, protesting for, civil rights could potentially be labeled a member of Antifa and then be labeled a terrorist and then arrested on felony charges. And another thing they did was say that any protests on federal property become, a felony offense. So this just seems like another version of that. And I think that one of the reasons the Trump administration has been so excited about these statue protests is because they are on federal property very often, therefore giving them greater pretext to arrest people. And that's just, one of many, many, many strategies they have to rig this election while brutalizing the population. They're destroying the post office. They have multiple foreign countries attempting to interfere. And yeah, it's a bad, bad situation.
Yeah, and not getting any better.
Rapidly worse.
But sadly, this is one of those things where, the law and order types are like, oh, get those dirty hippies off our lawn. And it's kind of that, because I asked somebody about it, and they're like, well, 61 days is kind of a long time. They should go home, get jobs. And I'm like, no, there's a reason that they're there, and that's what the state capitol is for. This is where you go for redress of grievance. This is where you go to get some resolve to your problems. If you're being shunned away and being charged with a felony for doing so, this is undermining our entire system of representative democracy.
Yes, I think people have forgotten that is our system. People have forgotten representative democracy, and they've forgotten that we're entitled to it. It is not some, little gift that we're given from above. It is our legal right. And I think part of the reason this has happened is our representatives have not been doing their job. They have not been serving the people. And obviously that's true on the GOP side. They've been actively trying to harm the people. They've been stealing our money, stealing our resources, working with organized crime, helping a traitorous Kremlin asset and, longtime mafia operative inhabit the White House. Then you have the Democrats who do very little. And then when they do, they expect basically like a parade in their honor. Like, they don't seem to understand, like, you are a public servant. You are getting paid to do this job. You are getting paid to represent our concerns and try to solve the problems of the people. And so when we say, you should do this and you should do that, and you have, maybe 80% of the, the Democrats saying, like, impeach Bill Barr or protect the post office or use inherent contempt to get those things done, done. And they won't. And they say, like, you know, how dare you? How dare you question our amazing, noble, divine leaders? You know, like, it's insane. And I think it's because of a culture of fear. It's because we've been transitioning from a democracy to an autocracy for the last 4 years. And before that, we had decades of fear. Fear after the economic collapse, fear after 9/11, and it's made people very hesitant to go in hard, you know, and challenge their own leaders and bring their concerns to the forefront and say, you know what, I am entitled to good representation and I am entitled to your time. Instead, it's this sort of personality cult thing that's developing. And I think it extends to this idea of state property and federal property. It's like, yes, absolutely. That should be where people express their grievances. That's the natural place. But, you know, we live in a country where the White House is barricaded, you know, from multiple levels where people could barely see it anymore from the street. It's become a little compound for the bunker president. And, you know, that's a sign of a very thick country.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. But to put it into terms that even my Tea Party friends would understand, it's your God-given constitutional right.
Yes. You know, that we should be on the same page. I mean, it's true, you know. We should all appreciate that right and never take that right for granted.
No, because this is, again, is another one of those double-edged sword moments. You know, okay, fine, you're going after the dirty hippies who are on the lawn there in Nashville. When's it going to be, you know, the biker crowd with, you know, screaming like they did in Michigan? You know, when's it going to be them? When's it going to be you? You know, and that's why, you know, our land is our land. Our state capitals are the people's house. And the fact that these representatives refuse to meet with them should be a reason that everyone joins together and throws them out.
Yes. I mean, we need like a culling sounds too harsh, but, you know, a large number of these people who are in office have no business being there. You know, they are either people contributing absolutely nothing or contributing great harm. You know, these are people well past their prime. There's a lot of new young blood, you know, in these parties. I mean, I think sometimes for the worse on the Republican side, like if you look at Josh Hawley or something, the, you know, Frankenstein monster my state has created. But, you know, on the Democratic side, there's all these interesting people, you know, with big ideas like AOC or Julian Castro or Katie Porter, and they're barely given kind of the chance to speak in an institutional capacity. Like if you look at the convention list, it's all these septuagenarians and octogenarians, many of whom I think just we don't want. Like we don't need John Kerry. We don't need Michael Bloomberg. We don't need like Andrew Cuomo. All these dynasty politicians. Like I look at that list and I'm like, how many of these people are related to each other? And like, you know, some of it you understand. Like you want the Obamas. It's understandable for Hillary Clinton to be there. I'm not sure Bill needs to be there. You know, but then you have like Pelosi and she's the aunt of Gavin Newsom. It's like on and on it goes. Just these endless dynasties, and then people who come from, like, you know, everyday regular families, not political dynasties, they get locked out, and it's such a limited perspective, and it gives this impression of, like, this political system exists only for the donors. It exists only for, you know, the oligarchs and the plutocrats as a money-making enterprise, and representative democracy isn't even on their mind, even while fascism is actively rising. Like, you would think they'd want as broad and inclusive a demonstration of, you know, devotion to the public as possible, especially if they're trying to get, the, you know, the vote, if they're able to try to turn out in these terrible conditions. And instead, it's the opposite. It's basically Sarah saying, like, no, this isn't for you. This is not a republic of the people or by the people anymore. Like, this is just a money-making apparatus, and we're now making that much more blatant, you know, than we have in previous years.
Or the other argument that I've gotten is, well, they're trying to move to the center to tell everything things are going to be okay. We're not going to be radicals. See, look who we've got. We've got Bloomberg and Kasich, and we want some of you moderates to come with us too. And there's part of me that understands that from a political standpoint, and then there's part of me that goes crazy because, you know, I hope we're better than that.
I mean, also like, I've met folks who are moderate, you know, who definitely find somebody like AOC or Bernie Sanders, you know, too out there. they're not, you know, full of desire for freaking Michael Bloomberg. Like, they look at him and they're like, this is everything I hate about politics. This is a billionaire who buys his way in and spams people with ads and makes promises he doesn't keep and, you know, does a crappy job as mayor. I don't know any, like, John Kasich stands out there. Like, there are people that are, you know, maybe more towards the center. There are already quite a lot of them on that list. Who are just more interesting and, you know, more worthy of a slot. And so I really feel like this is just picked for donors. And because I feel like, you know, big money and especially dark money and also foreign money and our political system is one of the greatest crises that we're facing. And it's one that nobody seems willing to really take on. Like, this just seems as another indication of this. It's like they ran the list by the donors and picked the people who, you know, who sate those desires. And I don't know. I haven't felt like this totally alienated from our representatives, like, as a body in a really long time, because I'm just watching them openly give up. I'm watching representatives who in the past have called, you know, for action to stop this autocracy and to stop the spread of COVID-19 and to protect the people just say, nope, we're done. Like, there's nothing we can do. Like, that's what, you know, Ted Lieu, who I usually like, the congressman from California, is on Twitter basically like, yeah, there's nothing we can do about the rigged election except try to vote early. It's like, holy goodness, you know, like, it's really crazy to me that we're just seeing, I mean, on one hand, I'm like, I appreciate the honesty, at least you're admitting that it is a rigged election, you know, that it's helpful for people to know that so they can strategize. So I do understand that. But it's like, God, you know, you guys have had years to plan for this. They stole 2016. You had 4 years. Like, what are you doing? Why aren't you even trying? Because it's one thing to try and fail. You know, that's bad, but at least you tried. I don't understand preemptively surrendering. I just don't. You know, I don't understand not even bothering to try to fight for this country.
No, I'm right there with you. But good news, my Yang Gang friends like to tell me that Andrew Yang was able to complain his way into a slot. So we'll have Andrew Yang.
Well, honestly, I think that's good. I think he, you know, he wasn't my top pick, but I think he merited inclusion.
I do too.
Like, you know, a young base. I think that his comments about universal basic income, this is the time to share them. Everybody is suffering during the coronavirus. I think a lot of people are much more receptive to this idea. You know, I think he should be in there. Beto should be in there. Julian Castro should be in there. Like, these are all people who ran for president, just like some of the other speakers, and had very interesting ideas and specialized areas of expertise. And Andrew Yang contributes to that. So good. You know, I mean, that's what the kind of person they need to be bringing in, are just, you know, younger, dynamic, more open-minded people.
I'm with you. So let me, before we move on to something else, let me get your thoughts on the VP pick. Was Harris a good pick? I thought she was the safe pick. I'm curious your thoughts.
I mean, yeah, she's a safe pick in some respects, but just, you know, as a woman of color, as a, you know, Asian and Black woman, she's getting these insane critiques, like these vicious, stupid, you know, worthless articles about, like, is she really, you know, a legitimate candidate? Can she really run? You know, birtherism. It's the return of birtherism.
Is she really an American?
Yes. I mean, so there's no way to really be, like, the quote-unquote safe candidate if you're a Black woman, if you're the daughter of immigrants in America, in the Trump era especially. But in terms of her political positions, yeah, you know, she comes off as pretty quote-unquote safe. I just say, you know, I like her voting record. I appreciate that she's voted very consistently against a lot of the worst people in terms of confirmations, the worst policies of this administration. Her own record, you know, as a prosecutor, as a senator, sometimes, like, it is more mixed. And I honestly, I don't know what to make of her. You know, people call her a flip-flopper. I'm hoping she's more just a sort of malleable, open-minded person who could maybe be, you know, sort of nudged in a more progressive direction. But I definitely think, though, that, you know, this is an election that has been decided very heavily by donors, by plutocrats, by big money. And I think they saw something in her that they like. And it worries me what that might be. That said, obviously, vote for Biden and Harris. Like, this isn't really a question. The whole time, I've just been like, you know, yes, vote for Democratic candidate X and vice presidential Democratic candidate X. I don't care who they are. I mean, I kind of cared because I liked Elizabeth Warren so much. But, you know, I basically was like, yes. I mean, literally, like, you're voting against an apocalyptic death cult. Whoever gets in is going to be better than the apocalyptic death cult. So, like, this isn't complicated. Just vote for the Democrats. Right. I say this as someone very annoyed with the Democrats right now.
No, I'm with you. Biden was my fifth choice, but come November, he is my number one choice, and that is what it is. But interesting. I did want to get your thoughts on one more thing before you go. I don't know if you saw this yesterday, but Mike Pompeo, the U.S. Secretary of State, said that he warned Russia. He warned Russia that they would pay an enormous price if it was true that that militants were offered money to kill American soldiers. I thought this was all a hoax. I thought it was all nonsense. I thought it didn't happen. I thought there was no there. So if there's no there, why is he warning Russia that it better not be true because there'll be bad consequences?
I don't think he's actually warning him. I mean, we have to remember Mike Pompeo illegally met with Russian spies who were sanctioned while he was working in the CIA in the beginning of the Trump administration before he was made Secretary of State. And after he had that illegal meeting with Russian spies, sanctioned Russian spies, on U.S. soil, suddenly Mike Pompeo became the new Secretary of State, pushing out Rex Tillerson. So this is a shady guy who is deeply entwined with the Kremlin. And whatever he's saying in terms of some sort of, you know, apology or inquiry into this horrific incident is for show. It's probably to shut up all the people who've been asking now for, you know, well over a month, what the hell is going on with the U.S. government sanctioning, you know, the murder or attack of U.S. soldiers abroad in Afghanistan, you know, by Russia. Like, what the hell is this? And I think enough people were loud about it that he finally had to go through this little charade of, you know, criticizing the Kremlin. And we've seen Trump do this charade too. He's like, oh yeah, you know, very bad, we're going to sanction them. And then they never really sanction them. Like, the oligarchs just go on and violate the sanctions, and they're never punished for it, and they continue to get what they want. And this is just Pompeo play acting, I think, because it's such a horrific thing, I think, especially for veterans or for any active military to think, my God, you know, this country, my own country, doesn't have my back at all. They're happy to, you know, sacrifice me to, you know, enemies abroad, whether it Russia or, you know, in Afghanistan, and no one's even going to do anything about it. And now Pompeo will be like, oh, I tried, and, you know, that'll be that.
Is that a try? Because here's the weird thing. You know, I've had a couple people say that, oh, this is all just fake news. They're just making it up. They can't prove it. Because this is basically what Dear Leader has said. But now to have Dear Leader's right-hand man saying, well, I warned them. That kind of makes me go, you know, yeah, this is not fake news. This is true. And all of you people who keep telling me it's fake news, maybe you should pay attention.
Oh, it's true. I mean, there's, you know, precedent for it. If you follow Olga Lautman on Twitter, you know, she's an expert on Russia and on foreign affairs. She was documenting this kind of activity in regard to Russia and the Taliban, you know, working against the United States, like, for months, you know, before it played out. Like, sometimes these things are reported more in Russian news press or just in foreign news internationally than they are by our own neutered, gutted, complacent media. So it's not like this came out of nowhere. It's more that, you know, it was reported, and then Trump was like, yeah, you know, so what, who cares? Like, and I think people were really, even by our new fallen standards, appalled by this cavalier attitude toward the murder, you know, or the attempted murder of our own troops abroad with a hostile regime that is partners with our president. I mean, my God, like, you know, like, it shouldn't, oh man. But yeah, like, tell your friends to check her her timeline and her articles that she posts out, because it gives a little more context to the situation.
No, she's terrific. We've had her on the program. She's really wonderful. And I highly suggest people check out her Twitter feed, because it is informative. But I know I said last question, but one more real quick thing. Are the P tapes real? Evidently, Michael Cohen is saying that, yeah, that he's organized this stuff.
I mean, probably. I think there are a ton of tapes. I think they all depict different things. I think the one that he's worried about is not some sort of golden shower situation. I think, honestly, he'd be pretty relieved if that's the one that gets out. I think it's something a lot more worse, a universal taboo, and, you know, something that he can't recover from is my suspicion of what people might actually hold over him. And let's remember, though, that this guy is a volunteer. He is a volunteer for a criminal enterprise. He did not need to be blackmailed into it. This is what he's done his whole life. But he hangs out with the kind of people who blackmail you and collect compromising information on you. I think the compromising information they have on him is about as bad as it gets. So.
Yeah, I'm sure you're... And this, again, something we've talked about numerous times. As always, yep. Sarah, great to have you back. I appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
All right, thank you.
Bye. Good stuff. Our good friend Sarah Kendzior. Make sure you check her out on Twitter as well. And get the book. The book, most important, Hiding in Plain Sight. We'll get links out on how you can do that. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.